Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt. So glad you could join us here for Church Online. And I hope, as always, you got your cup of joe, you got your coffee, your Bible. I pray you're snuggled up next to your family. God help us. One of our members sent a picture that he was snuggled up with his cat watching the broadcast. So if you need to get your cat, please get him in position to watch the Church Online. If you have dogs, they don't need to watch because everyone knows that all dogs go to heaven. So let's get going in the Word. Well, before we do that, can I just do this? I just want to let those of you watching let you know we're praying for you, that we have nonstop prayer going on at our church to intercede for our members, for our city, for our state, our nation. And so if you need prayer for anything at all, you can just email in your prayer request at info@everynationnj.org. Or if you'd like personal prayer today, just watch and following our broadcast today, you can pray with a virtual prayer counselor on our Facebook live feed. And so I'd encourage you to do that. Secondly, as well, that if you'd like to hang out and just meet some people, meet me after the church service today as well. There'll be a slide that will give you our virtual Zoom conference number that you can call in, and then we can chat after the service. So would love to do that as well. Final reminder before we get into the message this morning, and that's this, is that you can remain faithful in your tithing and your giving. And I just want to remind you that when we tithe, that God says that he would rebuke the devourer on our behalf, that in other words, he would protect us. And it reminded me back in my old NHL playing days. It's like, oh, here we go, living the dream, you know, again. But bear with me. And I was playing, this is back in, I think, 98 with the Carolina Hurricanes. And we didn't have a very tough team. But until we traded for a guy by the name of Stu Grimson, you might have heard of him. He was called the Grim Reaper. This guy was super huge, super tough. Oddly enough, he really loved Jesus, but he was a fighter. And as soon as he came on my team, suddenly no one messed with me. Why? Because if Stu before you, who can be against you, right? I think it's really if God is for you, who can be against you? And God promises as we honor him with the tithe that he's going to be our protector and rebuke the devourer in our behalf. So God bless you as you give. You can give digitally you can go to our website, encnj.org, hit the giving icon, or you can give via PushPay, our texting app. You just text ENCNJ to the number 77977. Or as always, you can snail mail, your tithe and your offering. Just mail that to our local church address, 101 Gibraltar Drive in Morris Plain, New Jersey. Hey, let's get into the Word of God. What do you think? We get a little drink of Joe here. Oh, it's lousy coffee. And get into the Word. Hopefully the preaching's better than the coffee. Here we go. So ladies, I'm going to let you in on a little secret that guys have. That guys, when they think fondly or like somebody, they're going to make fun of them. We mock people that we feel affection for. And so I have a lot of affection for Pastor Bruce Ho because I make fun of him all the time. I feel justified in this because for years, Pastor Bruce and I worked together in our church in New York City. And I remember Sunday mornings, I'd be thundering away, preaching a sermon. Pastor Bruce would be on the front row, nodding off, falling asleep. And I'm like, bro, is it that bad? But I consider this payback for all of that. It was brought to my attention that last week during one of the Every Nation New York prayer calls that somebody was snoring in the background. And this went on throughout the hour-long prayer call. And then people hung up. And then one of the pastors dialed back in to hear the individual still snoring on the other line. Now, I don't want to embarrass the person who did that, but his initials are Pastor Bruce Ho. That was him, and that was payback for all those years falling asleep. But Pastor Bruce was, he's just a dear friend of mine, and he would always drag me to these church conferences, and I'm not the church conference guy. I don't know why. I don't like it that much, but this was an amazing leadership conference. And as we went, they were doing actually a section on, there's going to be a worship section by someone doing sand art. I don't know if you've heard of this or seen this. I'm like, bro, I'm bouncing. I don't really care about sand art. But I just can't even begin to tell you how cool it was that they dump all this sand over this plexiglass platform, and it's illuminated underneath it, and they project it onto a screen. And so you get to see what this person's making. And as the lights go down, suddenly they project these images, and the artist begins to create. And he's actually going through the Bible story from Genesis to Revelation with these beautiful pictures. And you're like, no way, he just made that. And then tells this beautiful story, our story. And by the time the lights went back up after this, I found myself, I was violently sobbing and crying. And Bruce looks at me, he's like, man, pull it together. But it was that soul stirring. And you know what's so incredible is, do you know that the creation story, our story, is that beautiful and soul stirring that God, he speaks everything into existence. But for you and I, it says that God, he formed us. He fashioned us with the dirt, just like that artist. And he's creating and forming. Ephesians would say that you're God's workmanship, his craftsmanship. And he forms mankind in his image. A beautiful, wonderful picture. You remember last week we talked about, we're in our series Through the Wilderness, and we talked about how Israel went from Egyptian slavery to the Red Sea and then into the wilderness of Shur. And you remember that last week we said that Shur, it means to be hemmed in, to be penned in. And when we're pressed and trapped, sometimes the ugly parts can come to the surface. And Jesus has come to die for that. That he would make the bitter places in our life sweet again. And so that was last week's. But Israel now is going to go from the wilderness of Shur into the wilderness of sin. Now, when you hear the word sin, don't think doing something wrong or something immoral. The word for sin, it means clay or dirt. It's the wilderness of clay. And it's that place where God is going to form and fashion his people. And when God's done with you, you're going to be a beautiful image of his son, Jesus Christ. And so, but before you think it's so romantic, I mean, if you think about how clay is formed, it's pressed, it's smashed. Do you know, he's going to put into you godly character. Like the word character, it literally means to etch, to chisel. And so it's very painful, but God is going to form you in the wilderness of sin. Before we were trapped inside and this whole COVID-19 has dominated the world, I remember about 3 months back, I ordered a number of bracelets, these rubber elastic bracelets for our men. And I didn't know this would be so prophetic, but it's referencing Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a brother sharpens a brother. And we just love that. But here's the thing we don't realize. Iron sharpening iron, do you know, it's violent. There's sparks. It hurts. And how crazy is it that on this wristband, it says 2020 would be the year of sharpening. This looked way different. I didn't see God doing it like this, but God is sharpening us. He's fashioning us. So if you have your Bible, let's go to Exodus. We're going to read chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to skip over to verses 14 and 15 just for time's sake. But before we read, I stumbled across a story that blew my mind. This is back in 1988 in Poland. There's a man by the name of Jan Grzebski. And Jan was walking until he was struck by a train, didn't kill him, but put him into a coma from 1988, get this, all the way to 2007, 19 years. I think the world had changed a little bit. And Jan, when he came out of his coma, interjecting back into life, suddenly Poland was no longer communist. Suddenly there's all these new things like an iPhone that he says he was just overwhelmed going to these stores. And suddenly there's all these choices, all this abundance. But what really blew his mind was this. He couldn't believe how people just grumble and complain, yet they're surrounded by abundance. And so once again, our people are going to grumble and complain. And I'm so glad that God's people don't do that anymore. Let's go ahead and read. Exodus chapter 16. I'm going to start in verse 1. Remember, they're gone from Egypt to the wilderness of Shur, and now they're heading to the wilderness of Sin. Verse 1 says, they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I am about to rain from heaven for you, rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I might test them. What an odd word. He's going to test us through the bread rained down from heaven, whether they will walk in my law or not. Let's jump down to verse 14. It says this, and when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. So apparently manna was like frosted flakes, right? Did you get that? Sorry, bad pastor joke. Let's go on. Verse 15, it says, when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they didn't know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given to you to eat. We would later learn it's called manna, which means, what is it? And so God is going to test, shape, form, and fashion his people in the wilderness of sin through daily bread. Daily bread, it shapes us. Listen, I only got three stories. I just keep telling them all the time. And so you're going to hear this one again. But back in 2012, I was doing the New York Jets chapel, and they were actually taking on the New York Giants. Boo, right? And it was at MetLife Stadium. And actually, before the game, they do what's called shower up. And the guys are all in their gear, and they actually go into the shower and say this prayer. And it's a real manly, masculine prayer. Jesus, right? And so after we did the shower up prayer, Rex Ryan called me into the locker room, and he says, Pastor Adam, I want you to pray the Lord's Prayer with us because we got the G-men today. And so we took a knee together, and I had Dustin Keller on one side and Rex Ryan on the other. And then I had this terrifying thought. I'm like, I hope I remember the Lord's Prayer. And so, but it came to me. I'm like, our Father who art in heaven. And then all the men joined in, hallowed be thy name. And we thundered out the Lord's Prayer until we said, amen. And the moment we said, amen, I could tell Rex looked at me. He's like, okay, holy man, get out of the locker room now. And the moment I left the locker room, then they began to, let's bleat this blue blankety blankety blank team. And I just thought, what happened to all the these and thous? And now we're into, never mind. All right. So what's in the locker room stays in the locker room. And so, but if you remember the context for the Lord's Prayer, that the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And how great is it that Jesus, he appeals us to look to the Father and say, Lord, give us today our daily bread. Like Jesus wants us to look to the Father to be our provider. I Googled like the names of God. You know that it says that there's over 400 names for God in the Bible, and it represents an aspect of who he is. And one of his names is Jehovah Jireh, the God who greatly provides for his people. And that's who God is. And he wants us to look to him as his provider. Like the fact that God is your provider is the greatest news on the planet. because God doesn't get COVID-19, that God doesn't get quarantined, that God doesn't run out of meat, God doesn't run out of bread, but God is the great and glorious provider for you and for me, whether you know it or not. And so this really became apparent to me. Do you know that invisible people suddenly become visible in the wilderness? And I'll prove it to you this way, is because suddenly, in this COVID-19 wilderness, if you will, suddenly we noticed, the grocery stock boy. Suddenly we noticed the cashier. Suddenly we noticed the mailman and the gas attendant. Oh, get this, suddenly we notice nurses. And see, all these people that were invisible normally in this pandemic, we see them, who they are, that they're heroes. And I want to encourage you with this is, do you know that in the wilderness, suddenly the invisible God, he'll become visible to us in this, that you will see him as he truly is. He is your provider. I'm going to sport this. This is the new style now, right? So I got my mask on. What do you think, guys? Rocking the mask. And have you forgotten your mask yet when you went out and then you tried to go MacGyver and find something in your car to mash over your face? And is that just me? But here's what, you know what I'm finding, and I'm not proud of this, but I'm just a place of transparency here, is have you ever seen people and their mask and judged them a little bit? Come on, be honest. You done that? Like we've all seen that dude out at Costco, and he's got like the Darth Vader size mask on with these two big ventilators out the side. He's like, like, bro, a little dramatic there, aren't we? All right. And so there's that guy. And then you can go to the polar opposite extreme, and you get the girl who's just trying to make a fashion statement. And so she knit hers. And you're like, oh, that is such an adorable mask. So cute and so useless, doing nothing for you, right? Or I love how some people now we're like, oh, is that the N95 mask? That's so last month. I used to have that, but I have the N99 now. and then here to top it off, I promise you, it won't be long until we see Louis Vuitton, Chanel, exploiting humanity's need for surgical masks and putting their label on it and charging a gazillion dollars. But that's neither here nor there. I say all that to say this, is that the great theologian, reformer, Martin Luther, he said this. He said, God wears masks. I don't know if you've heard of that before, but he says, yeah, God, he wears a mask to get you and to get me our daily bread. And then when you think about it, think about all it takes to get a loaf of bread to you. You need the farmer and all his laborers. He said, then you need the production, someone to produce and refine the grain. Then someone to make and knead the bread, the baker. Then you need the shipping company. Then you need the shipping company to ship it to the store, to the stock boy who stocks the shelves, to the cashier, all that, to get you daily bread. And Luther says, all those people are simply God in disguise, God with a mask on, that he might get you your daily bread. But as you can see, sometimes like when you're in the wilderness or this COVID-19, that suddenly, God can't work through those masks or those means anymore. So there are moments when God will rip the mask off and he'll just miraculously provide for you and me. If you remember Peter, he needed tax money. Jesus said, hey, go, you'll find it in a fish. You'll find a coin in a fish's mouth. They said, hey, Jesus, we need to feed 5,000, but we only have a few loaves and fish. Sit down. And then he miraculously feeds 5,000. You have that God, if he needs to, he's going to bring water from a rock or make it rain bread from heaven. But one way or the other, our God, he is Jehovah Jireh, and he's going to provide and supply for you and for me. He is our glorious provider. And so for 40 years in the wilderness, God beats that drum. Every day he rains manna from heaven again and again. And again, it's God's beating this drum. I am your provider. I am your provider again and again. It makes me think back of hockey practice. You know, as an athlete, they make you practice time again and again and again. And the reason why they do that is that way, when the heat of competition's on, suddenly you don't think, you just react. You have these reactions on the inside of you. Why? Because you've been practicing again and again and again. And here's what God, he's doing with his people. He's making them get daily bread again and again. That when the heat of life comes in, the heat of the wilderness, they're trained not to look down at their circumstance, but immediately they look upwards to God, to Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. Here's the other thing, that daily bread, it tests and trains, it fashions us to daily choose to believe God, to daily choose to believe God. The biblical word is this, faith. I've heard it said this, that faith and dating are real similar, that faith and dating are an exercise in strategic uncertainty. And all the single people said, amen, Pastor. But it's an exercise in strategic uncertainty. See, but here's the good news for you and I, is that the Bible is clear that God cannot lie. Unlike some of our eHarmony and these dating websites where people make up all this garbage about themselves, our God can't lie. And when I open up the scriptures, the Word of God, and I begin to read the bio on God, that he's omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful, that he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. He's omnibenevolent. He's all-loving. Like when I read about that God, that's the God I choose to serve and to follow and attach my life to. He's the one I'm going to believe to supply daily bread. And so I choose God today, and I choose him again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And so, but I don't want to romanticize this idea of faith, that it's just believe God, Pastor. It's not that simple. Like we've said historically, that faith is a wrestle with doubt, that it's a fight. Paul calls it the fight of faith. And so if you find believing God daily difficult, you're doing it right. It has been the struggle from the beginning, from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Would they trust God? To Israel and the wilderness, would they trust God? To you and I in a COVID-19 pandemic, are we going to trust and believe God to see us through the wilderness? By the way, the wilderness of sin, it not only means the wilderness of clay, but the word sin, it also means thorn. That it's also the wilderness of thorns. And have you ever just had your mind just filled with anxiety, worry, and doubt as we were trying to get through this wilderness? Like, will I have a job? Will I be able to pay my bills? Will I get sick? Will my family members get sick? And so all these thoughts shooting through, and they're thorns. That it's no coincidence that Jesus, before he hung on a cross, that they placed a crown of thorns on his head. That Jesus, when he told the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, that he said this, he says that the seed sown on what? Thorny ground. It choked the word. He would say later that it's the cares and the worries of this life that can choke the word of God or choke out faith. But I got good news for you, that God has shown us a way that we can pluck out the thorns that get inserted into our mind. Paul would say it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Paul says this, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion or every thorn that gets shot into our head, raised against the knowledge of God. And here's what you do. You pluck it out, and then you take every thought captive to obey Jesus Christ. You align it with the Word of God. And so I tell believers this all the time. Listen, don't listen to yourself. Speak to yourself. Sometimes crazy thoughts get shot into your head, but you need to not listen to yourself, but speak out the word of God over your life. Speak to yourself. Through this COVID-19 wilderness, through the wilderness of sin, God shaping us, you need to daily decide you're going to walk by faith. Like, you are going to take a step of faith to believe God. Have you heard of the flying Willendas? I don't know why I asked the question like you're going to answer me back, but maybe you can put it in the Facebook texting area. But have you heard of the flying Willendas? It's this German family, which, by the way, they all ferociously love Jesus Christ. You might be familiar with Nick Walenda, who recently walked across the Grand Canyon. Do you remember him praying the whole time as he's walking across? I guess so. Well, his great-grandfather, Carl Walenda, years ago was walking on a tight wire between two hotel buildings in Puerto Rico until he fell 10 stories to his death. And they interviewed his wife and daughter sometime afterwards, and they noticed this about Carl. As they said, he was preoccupied with not falling rather than walking, than taking a step. And that's what you and I need to do. We're not going to be preoccupied with what ifs, with falling. We are going to be preoccupied with walking. And we are going to walk by faith and not by sight. And so it's a daily decision to walk and to believe God. Daily bread as well. It's going to test us, mold us, and shape us to daily seek after God. Do you know when the manna fell from heaven that they had to get up and go gather the manna? And if you didn't get it early enough, that the sun would melt it away. And so they didn't have DoorDash. They didn't have Grubhub. They had to get up and get it. And that's true for you and I, that we have to get up each day, get into the Word of God, get into the manna, the bread that's going to bring us life. By the way, I just noticed that this Monday, tomorrow, is going to mark day 365 of our Bible reading plan. And I believe there's close to 3,940 people that have taken this journey throughout the whole year to read the Bible in a year. Unbelievable. Unbelievably transformative. You know, for me, at the age of 16, I decided that I was going to read one chapter a day for the rest of my life. For the record, I would encourage you to read the scriptures in the morning. And here's the reason why. A few things is this. Did you know that, like your willpower, many believe it's finite, or there's a limited amount. And so, if you do it later in the day, you have used up a lot of your willpower. That's why you can eat the sleeve of Oreos at night. You're strong in the morning, but then by the time the night comes, you eat the whole thing. And so do it in the morning as well. Neuroscientists tell us this, that the first 20 minutes of your day, that it opens up the pathway to your subconscious mind. So everything you intake is going to stick. It's going to frame your world, and you want to frame it with faith, with the Word of God. And finally, if you can do that for 21 days, do you know that the neuroscience, it says this, that you can actually transform the shape of your brain? Like, you can change your mind. And I'm reminded of Romans. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind with the Word of God. And so I determined I was going to read this Bible one chapter a night for the rest of my life. And man, there were some nights I was reading it at night and I'd fall asleep. There's other times I'd read my one chapter and I'm like, that was ridiculous and I have no idea what they're talking about, you know, and just leave it there. But little did I know that little by little, as I put that into my heart, it was changing me. It was transforming me. So this is the first Bible I ever had. My mother bought it for me. It's old school King James Version. But I had to giggle when I was looking at some of all the notes I have in the back here. And I realized, as a young Christian, you know what? I was just trying to get stuff from God. How can I be blessed? How can He make me a better hockey player? How can He provide for me or give me things? And then it was kind of interesting. I grabbed this Bible out, which is a bit more recent, and I began to look at the notes in this one and the underlines. And you know, the notes in the back of this one, it's got the Romans Road, how I can lead people to Jesus. It's got the names of God, who He is. It's got talking about the church and how to love people well. And so I just saw this transformation in my life where I was less about the hands of God. It was more about the person of God, to love God and to love people. And I pray that would happen for our church. And that's going to bring me to this last point is this, that the daily bread, it should lead us to the bread of the presence. And so if you're familiar in your Old Testament, it talks about the tabernacle and the temple of God, and they have the outer courts of the temple, then they have the holy place, and then they have the most holy place. And that's where the presence of God dwells. And in the holy place, they have a table set up. And in the, on that table are 12 loaves of bread. And they're called the bread of the presence. Or another term for them are the bread of the faces. Because it's believed that the face of God, it's always looking over the bread. And it's the bread of the presence or the face of God. I read something today that was like adorable and yet a little bit painful. And when I was looking through this this old Bible, I found a letter from my youngest daughter, Elizabeth. And this is when she was quite young. You can see like the big cursive writing and all that kind of stuff. But I wanted to read for you something that she wrote to me. I believe it's applicable. This is after her horseback riding lesson. She says, "Dear Daddy, thank you so much for paying for my riding. If I had to do it for only half hours for a lesson per month," she says, "I would have probably slipped and not done as well." She says, "But when I get to do it for an hour, I do better." She's basically working me for more money. but here was the kicker. She says this: "I really loved that you came, and really is underlined, that you really watched today. Like you didn't open your book or you didn't try to do any work, but you just watch me." And it both touched me and like, oh man, those parent things. But do you know what my daughter was saying? She's like, "Daddy, I'm so glad that I got your face, that you watched with your face my lesson." In other words, I had the presence, the full presence of my dad. And isn't that what we want? Like, I pray that our desire would be not just for the hand of God, but eventually we'd be like, "Oh God, I want to see your face. Lord, I just want your presence first and foremost." You know, what's crazy is, as I follow the life of Moses, Israel, the people are grumbling and complaining about not having enough food. But we never hear that out of Moses, do we? And yet Moses is responsible for 2 to 3 million Jews in a wilderness, in a desert. Do you know that they estimate that he would have needed 2 tons of food per day, that he would have needed 4 tons of firewood per day, 11 million gallons of water per day. And so I can't imagine the weight of that responsibility, but he never grumbles, never complains. Why? Because Moses had experienced the face of God, the presence of God, and all that other stuff melted away. And so my prayer is that as a people, as we grow in our daily bread, it's good. It's good to ask God to provide. "God, I need this and this and this." But we'd move from not only asking for his hands, but we'd want the face of God as well, his presence over our life, because the presence of God changes everything. And then here I'll close with this is, do you know that there'd be another deliverer would show up on the scene some 1600 years after Moses, and his name was Jesus. And Jesus, as he walked the earth, he said this, he says, "Moses, he gave you bread, but my Father gives you the true bread." He says, Moses, they died, and his people, they died in the wilderness. He says, "But if you eat of this bread," he says, "you will have life everlasting, because I am the bread of life." This past week, I got some unfortunate news. For years, I had a small group, a Connect group in New York City with a group of men. And one of the guys in the Connect group, he passed away this past week. He had the COVID-19 virus and he went home. And listen, when I heard the news, my first thought was this: I'm so glad. See, and I hope that doesn't sound cold or unloving. See, but I knew his life, that, you know, on earth he struggled with finances and struggled with temptation and things. And guess what? He's no longer struggling. That I remember he had very few family and friends, and now he has a myriad of people, of family, of friends, the saints of God. That I remember when he walked the earth, he had all these questions. God, why this? God, why this? And now, in the face of the presence of God, I know all those questions have melted away and he's in glory. And so, listen, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ, the bread of life, if you would like to receive the eternal life that Jesus offers, I'm going to pray a very simple prayer right now. But if you want to pray along with me, or just close your eyes and receive the prayer in your heart, and please just let out an amen at the end of the prayer, God will hear that prayer. And so let's pray here. Please repeat after me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I confess that I'm a sinner in need of you, a Savior. Come into my heart, be my Savior and my Lord, and give to me the breath of life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Every Nation New Jersey. Have a great week, and know that Jesus is the bread from heaven. Love you.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.